With Hashem's help, we are learning the book Gan HaShalom. In the Hebrew version, page 35. We're learning in this chapter about the important principle of never ever criticizing your wife. Never ever saying anything bad, saying anything hurtful, telling her she's done anything wrong. It's the way only to disaster. Doesn't help anything, doesn't fix her, doesn't fix you. It looks good, but it is not the correct path. Rav Arish in this chapter is explaining to us exactly why. So we continue. Me'achasha isha hi ma'resha labal. Since the wife is a mirror of her husband. Therefore he needs to learn how to look at the mirror. What are we saying? We're saying that there is no point in criticizing your wife because she's the mirror. She's just a mirror. Hashem created a personal individual mirror just for you. Hashem cares about you and loves you, you Yaakov, so much that he created you, your own special mirror. That reflects all of the things that you need to know, particularly all your bad traits, but also your good traits. All your good stuff is also reflected in her. Anything your wife is doing good, you should know that's coming from you, right? You should take that as chizuk. You see your wife's wonderful, and I don't know your wife, but I assume she is, right? All that wonderful stuff, that's coming straight from your neshama. That's fantastic. Baruch Hashem. Right, so she's a mirror, even if we can't see it, right? My wife speaks to the neighbors, speaks to friends, me, I don't speak to no one, right? No, it's still coming from me. I should also look for chizuk to see where that's coming from too. But our topic here is the reverse. All the faults that I need to correct, Hashem has created in the mirror, called my wife. So because she's a mirror, there's no point trying to fix the mirror, because that's just dumb, right? You know, no one tries to fix the mirror. Rather, we fix ourselves and automatically the mirror gets fixed without even having to say a word, without doing anything. But Rav Arish is saying here, you should know that there's a way to look in the mirror. You have to know what you're looking at. You have to try and understand the messages that Hashem is sending me through my wife. My wife is going crazy, she's upset, she's sad, she's angry, or she's got bad midot, she's speaking Lashon Hara, she's shouting at the children. I have to know what I'm looking at. I got this far in the book and I read the first 30 pages and I know that my wife is a mirror. But now the question is, okay, that's a mirror. She's shouting at the kids. I didn't shout at the kids, she shouted at the kids, but it's a mirror. I don't understand. What does it mean? So now Rav Arish is, Baruch Hashem, he's going to show us, he's going to explain to us what it means, how we understand the mirror, how we understand the messages that we're getting. Now we know that she's a mirror. Over the page. The Ketzad Lefaresh, Mashehu Ro'eh, Ulhagia Lamaskanot HaNachonot. How to explain what he sees. How does a person explain what he sees in his wife? And how he arrives at the correct conclusions. We don't want to make the wrong assumptions. Right? I know that my wife's a mirror, and I see that my wife's eating too much. She's just stuffing her face with chocolate cake all day. What's it, a message? It's a message for me that I need to go on a diet. So I decide to go on a diet. Actually, that's not really the message. Right? If I take things too literally, I'm missing the point. Right? It's sometimes a little bit more subtle. I need to know how to understand. Lachen, therefore, avikama dugmot, we're going to bring a few examples. Vakama afanim shebahem meshameshet ha'isha mare labal, and a few different ways in which a a husband can understand what he sees in his wife. V'chol echad tzarech lo'osif midato. Everyone should add from their own understanding. Right? This is some examples, but everyone has their own understanding. Right? The starting point before we even get into the examples is to know that Hashem does not make this world impossible. The world is difficult and it's a challenge, but it's not impossible. There is an answer to everything. Hashem is speaking to us and we can understand his messages. We don't have to be Gadol Hador, Tzaddik of the generation, in order to try and understand our wives. We need to spend time and to think about it, but we don't have to go crazy. Right? And we can't let ourselves off with the excuse that people often, unfortunately, give, which is, oh, you can never know what Hashem's trying to tell you. Even if Hashem's trying to tell you something, you can never know. You can never know. I've heard that so many times. People who are anti-speaking to Hashem, anti-Hizbodidut. Right? So why are they anti-Hizbodidut? Because you can never know what Hashem wants. No one can ever understand Hashem. No one can know what he wants. It's nonsense. It's an excuse because I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear the message that Hashem is giving me, which is I need to fix myself. So rather than fix myself and listen to what Hashem's trying to tell me, I'm going to hit it. No, you can never know. No, don't even try. Don't even go there. It's wrong. It's a lie. It's an excuse. It means I don't want to look at my own faults. No, Hashem treats his creations in a way that's sensible. If he wants to tell us something, we're going to get the message. And if we're trying hard to find the message, Hashem's going to open our eyes and we're going to know what the message is. And we don't need the other excuses. What if I get the message wrong? Maybe I'm going to find something and it's not right and then I'm going to do it and then I'm going to mess everything up. That's also an excuse. It's not true. Hashem is not here to trip us up. Hashem is not making a joke at our expense. Chas v'shalom. Hashem loves us more than the most loving father we could ever imagine. Hashem gave us every idea that ever landed in my head, only came from Hashem. I can't create my own ideas. Anything that comes into my head is only from him. So if he's put into my head to go on a diet, so top, he wants me to go on a diet. Even if it was wrong, he still wanted me to make that mistake and then to learn from it. Doesn't matter whether it's right or it's wrong. I don't need to worry. I don't need to second guess Hashem. He's far more loving and careful, and he's in control, and he knows what he's doing, and I don't need to worry. I just need to do my job. My job is to do the best I can, to follow the advice of our Tzaddikim, follow the advice of Rav Arush in this book, which is to look and learn from what my wife's trying to tell me, and do my best. And we can learn from some of the examples we're going to get given now. Every lacking that he sees in his wife, every lacking that a person sees in his wife, a person needs to pray and ask Hashem to enlighten his mind so that he knows what it is, the message. What message are you trying to show me here, Hashem? Right? The Gemara says, Yagata Matsata Tamid. If you yearned, you prayed, you asked, and you found the answer, you can believe in it. If you ask Hashem for an answer, and your brain is lit up with an answer, then it's good. Go with it, 100%. Don't worry, don't turn back. Go for it. If you asked and prayed for it, and then you got into your mind the answer, that's it. You don't need to worry, well, maybe it wasn't the right answer. If you didn't pray and you didn't ask Hashem and you just decided from your own opinion, so you've got to question, maybe that might not be right or wrong. But if I asked Hashem and I understood what I thought was the correct message in my simplicity, right, without trying to be too clever about it, just in my pure and simple. Not everyone in the world has the talent and the ability to be a Talmid Chacham. Maybe on Pshat level. But everyone has the ability in the world to be a tzaddik. Hashem didn't create anyone without the ability to reach the highest level of purity and simplicity. Everyone has that ability. And that just means that we turn to Him and we ask Him for help. Okay, so what are the examples? First example. First example of how Hashem controls His world, how He created the world. Mida keneged mida. What does that mean? Means measure for measure. A turn for a turn. The way I deal with Hashem, He deals with me. What does it mean in this context? So we're going to explain. But Kevan Shekol Yehudi Nikra Ra'aya Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since every Jew is called a Ra'aya, a friend, a wife of Hashem. Kmo She'orim B'Shir HaShirim. Like in Shir HaShirim, Am Yisrael, Jews, are likened to the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the analogy, in the simile that's brought, the mashal of Shir HaShirim. Shekneset Yisrael Mechune Rayati, that Knesset Yisrael, the nation of Israel, Am Yisrael, are called, given the term, the wife. Lachen Derech HaYisha HaBore Mare LaAdam Mahu Choshev Alav. Therefore, through the wife, Hashem shows a person what He thinks of him. What does this mean? L'dugma, for example, Ishto lo shomat lo. If your wife doesn't listen to you, K'mo shehu shomer lo shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's an example that you're not listening to Hashem. Right? Your wife is not listening to you, your kids too, but we're talking about wives here. Right? Your wife isn't listening to you. It's a message, you're not listening to Hashem. Nice and simple. Ishto eine eino mekavedet lo. If your wife doesn't respect you, k'mo shehu lo mekavedet et Hashem yivorach. It's just the same way that I'm not respecting Hashem. Mida keneged mida. Hashem is treating me via my wife the way I treat him. I'm not getting respect at home. My wife's not listening to me. Not treating me how I want to be treated. I need to think, maybe I'm not treating Hashem the way He should be treated. Okay, example number one. That was. Number two. V'chen habore morez leba'al. So too, Hashem hints to a husband. Ma'alav letaken al yidei shemareh lo b'ishto et midotav hatzrivchot tikun. So too, Hashem hints to a person through his wife the midot that he needs to fix. If my wife is struggling with the midah of getting angry, then I too need to work on my anger. If my wife is struggling with the midah of sniut, I too need to work on my mitzvah of sniut, which means shmirat ha'nayim. Right, the same midot, she's a reflection of me. She gets her light from me. Whatever is in me is being reflected in her. The midot she has rooted in me. The root is in me, good for good or for bad. And therefore, when I see lackings, and I wonder, why is she doing that? It's because it's in me. If my wife is not dressing so sneersly, it's because actually, I'm not reflecting on her the correct sneut. Right? It, within me is a znut, is a immorality, however you want to describe it, that needs working on. Hashem showing me in my wife, same too,
immodest.
Immodest. in lack of modesty.
So to we're lacking modesty too, right?
Modesty for my purpose usually means my Shmirat Anayim. Right, my Shmirat Anayim is not good. So it appears in my wife.
What if the wife, I'm not saying minus, but she's an amazing wife. But say if someone's wife is angry, someone's wife is a temper, or something else, that they had that visa before the marriage.
Doesn't matter.
Because once
doesn't matter.
Different ship gets placed there.
Even if she had it before the marriage, Hashem knew who she was going to marry and was setting her up for you. He created her exactly how she would need to be, so that by the time she stood under the chuppah for you, she was a perfect match.
Yeah.
Meaning the perfect counterpart.
And listen,
yes.
Before you married,
yes.
Which wife you married. So when she grew up in another place, she suffers things because of you. You made something wrong.
Nachon.
Before you married.
Right. So
if
she had.
There was a guy in this place, you know. Your wife's right.
So, because what we're saying is the wife is perfect, ready for us. So, for example, if I've got the media of anger that I need to work on, I need my wife to have grown up in a situation where she got angry a lot. So she now enters the marriage as an angry person, and I need to work on that. Because, however, if I worked on myself before I got married, so I got rid of my anger completely when I was a teenager. So my wife also doesn't have to suffer as a teenager with anger, because she doesn't need to bring that into the marriage. She can bring in calmness and into the marriage. She doesn't need to bring anger into the marriage.
So
she only needs to bring that into the marriage for me.
Everything that we did through our lives corresponds as well.
Yeah, if I work on myself now, those of us who aren't yet married, right? If I work on myself now, my wife is going to actually have a lot better midot if I go into the marriage with a lot better midot, because she has less that she needs to show me.
If you see the baby, sometimes it's a little bit of a temper.
Yes.
We have fun.
Could be. Look, the other thing.
Well, there's a certain amount of modesty that a husband has to, a man has to have.
Nachon.
You walk around your house without a shirt, you know, relax, wearing the kippah and so on.
But you're right, but usually, you're correct, 100%, even a man has to be modest. Right, but the first page of the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should act inside his home, inside his innermost room, as if he was standing in front of Borei Olam, in front of Hashem. You have to act, right? With modesty, you're not allowed to just get changed and parade around looking for your pajamas, right, with nothing on. You can't do that, right? That's all, right? That's modesty. But the root of that modesty is probably, not always, but it's probably rooted in a lot in Shmirat Anayim, and everything else is going wrong. That's just kind of where it's got to. It's also coming out in the fact that I walk around with no clothes on, because I'm still got looking at women on Facebook and whatever and wherever I'm looking at them, right? And now that's just another extension of where it's coming out. One of the things that a person might say is, for example, we're looking at this and we say, a husband might say, my wife has a problem with anger. She's always shouting at the kids. She's always getting angry. She's getting angry at me, right? But I'm actually pretty calm. So I don't understand this. I'm actually pretty calm. I'm a pretty calm guy. I can't even remember the last time I got angry, right? So how come, Mita, what's going on here? So one thing it could be, and it probably is, but one thing it could be is I actually have anger and I just suppress it. I have suppressed anger. I get upset, I get angry, and I don't let it out. I keep it all inside. So I don't get angry, but you know what? Hashem's telling me you need to deal with that. You get angry, you're upset. And you're not dealing with it. You're not letting it out, which means I'm not fixing it. If I'm pretending it doesn't exist, and I'm swallowing it, I'm not dealing with the issue. I'm not dealing with the meter. You're free. I didn't shout at anyone. Great. I didn't blow up. That's also good. But I haven't yet fixed it. And Hashem wants me to fix it so that I don't need to feel angry even inside. I can't get to the highest place in Gan Eden if I had anger which was inside me and never let out. I didn't deal with that issue. I need to accept, you know what, I get angry, and I just don't let it show.
She could be telling you too that the kids are yours too, not only mine. But you have to have a part in your education.
Nachon, but usually Hashem deals with us in midot rather than practicalities. So if there's a midah involved in that, meaning you need to show more chesed or whatever, then fine, yofi. But in terms of practicalities, less so. The practicalities are only really to help us work on our midot. The fact that we have kids that need looking after, that we have to deal with a sick person, is only so that I work on the midot of whatever that midot is.
But if you don't work on it,
yeah,
it's going to build up and build up and build up until it either kills you with a heart attack or you have post-traumatic stress disorder.
If Hashem is being kind to us, he's going to push my buttons until I snap. He's not going to let me live with swallowing down anger. He's not going to let it happen. He's going to push my buttons some way or another until it actually comes out. And I have to admit, you know what, I am angry. I'm refusing to admit I'm angry. I never get angry. No, absolutely refuse to admit it. And you know what? If Hashem really loves me and he doesn't let go, he's going to push me until I snap. And then I'm going to have to admit it.
But once it's
And
out.
I'm going to blow up, and I'm going to blow up my wife, I'm going to blow up my kids, you name it, someone. It's going to happen.
It's going
to have to deal with it.
It's going to clean you out. It's like getting a pus. Pustule that you need puncture.
Yeah, fair. Nachon. All of these midot that are really bad, that we try and hide and we try and swallow and we try and push away, they're much better dealt with, but they're just too big and bad and scary, and we don't know how to deal with them. Like, if I know, for example, I'm learning in this class, and I see from today's lesson that if my wife gets angry, it must be in me. And I know that I also don't get angry really, and I know that it must be in me. So what's my choice? What do I do now, practically speaking? Practically, I have to go to my Hizbodidut. Say, Hashem, I'm learning that I probably have anger inside me because my wife's angry. I don't really see it a lot. Maybe over here a little bit I can see it. But I can't really see it. And even if I can see it, well, what do you want me to do with it? I mean, how on earth am I meant to fix it? How do I fix a midah? Now you're showing me, you're giving me a remez, a hint. What do I do with it? How do I fix it? So the answer is, I can't fix it. I, me, Reuven Levy, don't have the ability to fix my anger. No more than I can fix my shoe size or my, you know, I don't have the tools. The anger is a midah that was given to me by Hashem, and it's a midah that will be taken away by Hashem. He's the one who gave it to me, and he's the one who's going to take it away. And no 3-step program, no 26-step program, no cognitive behavioral therapy is going to do it. It might look like it's having an effect. Anger management class may look like it, but it's surface. It's stopping it coming out. It's pushing it elsewhere, pushing it to somewhere else. It's not dealing with the problem, right? An example, my daughter had, as a child, eczema. Eczema is a skin rash, itchiness of the skin that comes out. What does modern Western medicine say if you do that? You put on it hydrocortisone cream. You put out steroids. What do steroids do? They make it go away and everything's wonderful. See, cream on, eczema gone. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make it go, it disappears, but it goes somewhere else. You know what it goes? You know where it goes? It goes to asthma. It goes inside, you push it down into the body further, so it's no longer in the skin, and it now comes out of asthma. How do we know this? Because the wisdom of Hebrew, the holy Jew, calls in Hebrew eczema aspect of the skin. That's what they call it, right? The same too with our midot. If we try and put a band-aid over it, it's going to go away and come out somewhere else a lot worse. Better to have eczema and your skin is itchy than to have asthma and your lungs are itchy.
Right? What's even worse is you treat both with steroids. The steroids will kill you.
Right.
Slowly.
Nahon. You can't switch the light. Right, Rabbi Bodhi has the example of a pilot flying the plane. And what happens? He sees the red light flickering on one of the warning panels. And he turns to the co-pilot and says, pull the fuse out of that, please. And the pilot looks at him and says, you just do it. He pulls the fuse out. He says, ah, there we go, fixed. It's not flashing anymore. You're right, it doesn't flash anymore. You pull the fuse out. It's not appearing anymore. I fixed it. No, you're right, it's not appearing. You didn't fix nothing. You just pulled away the symptom, right? Which is what all classic drugs today do, from an aspirin, Acamol, whatever you want to call it these days, right, to Tylenol, to Ritalin, to whatever. It's all the same basis. We make the problem go away, but we don't cure it. We don't cure it, but we make the problem go away.
In fact, it makes it worse.
It's not helpful. It's very short-termist, and it may, our talk today is not about Ritalin. Right? Our talk today is on Shambhala. So what happens? I realize from this class, or from whatever else I'm learning, that I have B-dot issues. How do I make them go away? Well, I can take drugs, and that's not a good idea. So Ruben makes a very good point. Anger, particularly, what does anger mean? There's only one reason why I'm angry. In any situation, there's only one reason why I'm angry. Because things aren't going the way I want. Right? It doesn't matter what the situation, it's not going the way I want. What does that mean, that something's not going the way I want? It means if I believe in Hashem, if I recognize Hashem exists, and I know that he's actually in control, then it means I'm not happy with Hashem. Hashem, what you're doing right now is not good. I don't agree with it, I don't accept it, it's wrong. Anger is heresy. Right? They say that when the anger is like a avodah zarah, and you can see why, because anger is like a avodah zarah, because it means I'm basically saying either Hashem is not in control of the world, or Hashem isn't in control of the world, and he just did something really bad. They're the only two options. If I'm angry at a situation, angry at something, it's either because it's not from Hashem didn't do that, because Hashem's wonderful and good and he's fantastic, so this isn't Hashem, which such a thing doesn't exist. Or, okay, it is Hashem, and it's wrong, meaning Hashem's wrong. Either of those two things are, if you look at the definition, are called heresy. Right? You can't say that either that Hashem is not here and didn't do it, or that Hashem is wrong and made a mistake.
But if someone's more zealous, that's why he's angry.
Huh?
But if someone has anger, because he's more zealous.
Because he's more what?
Zealous.
Then it's not really anger. It's not anger. Pinchas was not angry. Pinchas was zealous, but at no time did he get angry. In our understanding, if we have a correct definition of anger, right, he might look like he was angry, but he wasn't the definition of angry.
Especially in the traffic.
Yeah.
And now I listen to the story. Rabbi, he stopped to drive a car. Drive only taxi, so because he said, because driving make me angry. So he not
fix
the problem. And I said, you run away from this problem. Ah. Because not only stop, but because he was thinking, he can fix this problem for himself. You can't.
Right. We can't run away. Right? Just like Yonah, right? Anyone in classic stories of running away, you'll see you can't run away. Right? And people, you know, the extreme of running away is people run away from marriage. You know, we're talking Shalom Bayit. People run away from marriage. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I can't deal with this. I'm running away.
that's why
people do that.
You have a 65% divorce rate in some areas, even higher.
Right.
That's if they get divorced. Some people just.
But what is it? But what does it come back to? It comes back to all of these. All of our midot issues come back to a lack of emunah. Right. We fix them through emunah and prayer. For example, if we take anger as an example, we fix it through emunah by knowing that everything is from Hashem. If I know this is from Hashem, it doesn't make me angry. If I know the three principles of emunah that Rav Shalom brings in Garden of Emunah, everything is from Hashem. Everything is for the good. And everything is a message that's trying to teach me something. If I take those three principles and apply it to everything, then if someone cuts me up on the road, it's from Hashem. He's doing it for my own good. I can't be angry, even if, you know, stop me at whatever point you want. I can't be angry now, and it's a message.
It's like so. Because when your heart is not clean, so something is wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So when you become angry, it means Hashem show you you have God in you. Maybe you have to shake your life. Maybe you have some, you're not trying to attempt, you have to give your heart to Hashem, understand?
The reason why Hashem may be sending us the anger is because anger represents Avodah Zarah, right? Like we just explained that it shows that I don't believe in Hashem, Hashem's not in the world right now. When I'm angry, Hashem doesn't exist. For me, right now, Hashem doesn't exist. He's not part of the picture. If he was in the picture, I wouldn't be angry. So what's he showing me? He's showing me that actually, I need to, where do people mostly get angry? In places where Hashem is lacking. Right, if I'm getting angry at work, it's because the money is my Avodah Zarah. The job is my Avodah Zarah. Right? These are the places that I'm not seeing Hashem.
Yeah, I see, when I become, sometimes Hashem, the Yetzer put you in pressure, time pressure. Oh, you have to go there. Now you have to go to you. You understand? When you become the worst, you say, oh, I have to go and do the job.
Right. And I'm not seeing Hashem, I'm just seeing the pressure.
Yeah, midah connected midah. The person gets angry, he loses control. And that's basically what you're teaching Hashem like that. You're not in control, so lose control.
That's it. We shall continue tomorrow.